broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
If this goes through and passes, the United States will no longer be the same country that we were. So
I
this
know
can't...
that he has a strong interest in bipartisanship, right. But when nobody in the Republicans...
Pledge to be of service to Barack Obama.
If the student insists on using Facebook or MySpace at school, which I
Your
think...
Your wife said the same thing.
That's crap.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This radio show is not addicted, and we're not tied to the big nipple of the Republican or Democratic Party. We're not laying there in the bassinet waiting for them to drop the nipple about that close to our lips, so all we have to do is go... This is the last bastion. In fact, this is the first bastion of free thinking on the radio. Seriously, man. Most of those shows that tell you, well, we believe in free thinking around here. Well, they're just a lot of gussied up progressives or conservatives. That's all they are. The Independence Institute. What is that? That's just jazzed up conservatism, okay? You know, the Media Matters, jazzed, you know, Watchdog, bull crap. You guys are just a bunch of dressed up liberals, progressives. You know, you're what was it that Vernon said?
He said it's like putting a dress on an animal.
A dress on an animal? You mean an animal?
Yes.
Anyway, sorry I asked. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Our website is philhenryshow.com. The reason why I direct your attention to that is because we do live streaming video each and every night, and it is the highest quality video. If you go and you take a look at the video that we're streaming right now of our show, looking at my kisser and all of the things that surround me, including the happy birthday banner that's behind me, which I didn't take down because, crank, you know, might as well live it up for an extra day. Not that I got an extra piece of cake for it. But anyway, if you go, you can take a look and you'll see the highest quality video on the web right here on The Phil Hendry Show. A lot of these guys are using 10-year-old technology, not us. And also, of course, we're on Twitter, twitter.com/realphilhenry, facebook.com/philhenry, and 877-876-PHIL is our number. All right. The gentleman who called last hour, nice guy from Phoenix, he mentioned a story that was so outrageous, we double-checked it to make sure it was, in point of fact, fact. And he was right. He was right. The way he pitched it was a little off, but here is the story from Sacramento, California, in July of this summer that we have been living through, July the 23rd, an airman lost parts of both legs and was in critical condition after routine gallbladder surgery at Travis Air Force Base went terribly wrong, according to his family. Now, please, as you know, on the Phil Hendry Show, we always tell you to read carefully. This is according to his family. Not a big thing, perhaps, but it's not according to the doctor. It ain't even according to the guy himself. It's according to his family. It's not according to their lawyers. Well, let's see. Airman First Class Colton Reed was supposed to get his gallbladder removed via a small incision. It's called a laparoscopically. I think that's the guy that calls the games for the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
Laparoscopically. At Travis David Grant Medical Center on July the 9th, during the procedure, surgeons nicked or punctured his aorta. It was, as you know, a large artery that carries blood from the heart throughout the body. This according to the wife, Jessica Reed. The surgeons repaired the breach enough to save his life, but the repair began leaking and disrupted the blood supply to his leg. So, he didn't go in for gallbladder surgery and some dumbass surgeon said, okay, let's cut off his legs. He went in for gallbladder surgery, and while they were attempting to perform the surgery that they were charged to perform, they punctured the aorta, which began to leak blood, and which then disrupted the blood supply to the legs, and then it became necessary for them to amputate parts of his legs. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't get him off the hook, okay? But at least it's not so, that's so stupid that when it said gallbladder surgery, the guy went, oh, okay, remove his legs? No, man, gallbladder surgery. I thought that's the legs. No, that's not the legs. That's the gallbladder. Okay, thank you. Reed was flown to University of California Davis Medical Center in Sacramento, where real doctors told the family the damage from the lack of blood required amputation. So the amputation was performed at UC Davis Medical Center, Sacramento. That's where the decision was made, by the way, to amputate. Not that it changes the essential facts, but these are specifics that you can... Okay, so the family's making the claim. The family is also saying that the decision to amputate the legs or parts of the legs was made by doctors at UC Davis, not by the Air Force doctors. But nonetheless, the doctors that went in to remove the gallbladder of this airman punctured the aorta. They screwed up. They effed up. It was FUBAR, baby. It was all messed up. It was all jacked up, right? And they got to own that. And the family members say he's undergone 10 surgeries. Family members, again, saying he's undergone 10 surgeries to remove dead tissue from his legs, leaving him without much of his right leg and the lower portion of his left leg. And Reed still hasn't had his gallbladder removed because of surgical complications. Now, Travis officials would not comment on specifics, only saying a serious medical incident occurred at the hospital. The case is under investigation by the base, the National Hospital Accrediting Commission, and the U.S. Surgeon General. So it's being looked into. Now, this is an egregious example of lousy medical care. There's no question about that. When you read a story like this and someone says to you, this is a classic example of the medical care that's currently being provided in the military, I say that that is patently unfair. It's as asinine as if I were to indict the present state of medical practice in America by the malpractice, the real malpractice, the legitimate malpractice claims that are being lodged. In other words, if I were to judge America's healthcare system today by the lousy doctors that it has, that would be all the more argument for a brand new healthcare plan, wouldn't it? But I'm not going to do that because I wouldn't even qualify that as unintelligent. I would call that nonsense. In other words, it doesn't rise to the level of being right or wrong. It's just nonsense to say, because there's a lousy doctor somewhere in America, America's healthcare is crap. Any more than I would say, because there's a lousy doctor working in the Air Force, the military medical service provided to our men and women in uniform is bad, you know, or is like this. This is exemplary of what they're getting. That would be a statement that wouldn't even rise to the level of qualifying for argument. There's no way that you would want to get into a debate over that. Okay, so where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us with the following. It leaves us with the reality that we live with right now. We have healthcare in America that is privately delivered, that is being fought for by people who don't want a national plan, and they are fighting tooth and nail. They're saying they're going to slit their wrists. They're going to fight to the death. They're going to jam into all of these town hall meetings and jump up and down and wet their pants. And they're fighting for a private healthcare industry that does this kind of thing all the time. They're always there's always malpractice. And let's, by the way, folks, keep something in mind, okay? Not that it's a big thing, but I thought I'd just throw it in. Just because a guy sues someone for malpractice doesn't mean he's filing a frivolous lawsuit. You know, you can't have it both ways. You can't say on the one hand, we've got all these medical malpractice suits, that's what's causing the problem. Well, suppose one of those medical malpractice lawsuits had to do with a guy getting his legs cut off being when they were going to take his gallbladder out. Do you suppose that guy's entitled to a lawsuit? How many of the... I got a real news flash for you. How many of those medical malpractice suits are being filed right now in the private sector in this country that are legitimate? How many of those are actual legitimate lawsuits, and how many doctors do they represent, and just exactly what does that mean? Let's let all of those lousy doctors keep practicing medicine and just make it illegal for them to be sued? Well, there's a solution now, isn't it? It's not that simple. Take a look, as we've often said on the show, to the numbers. 15-16% of the GDP of this country going into medical expenses, medical costs, medical health care. This is a huge portion of the amount of money that's circulating in this country right now. It's costing a lot of money. Every American knows we need health care reform. We're going about it in a way that I think is uniquely American. We are proposing a national health plan alongside of private health insurance. Why don't people want to understand this? I'll tell you why. Because the Obama White House has not been able to communicate this intelligently and clearly and without partisanship. They've trotted out imbecile after imbecile. people who whose reputations are already ruined among the American people. People that the American people are not going to listen to en masse. They're not going to listen to Harry Reid. They're not going to listen to Nancy Pelosi any more than they would listen maybe to John McCain these days. Any more than they would listen to Mitch McConnell or any of these other Republicans who are shop-worn and tarnished and dull, and we don't want to listen to them anymore because they got nothing to say to us. And I'm telling you, Reid, Pelosi, God bless him, John McCain, and all of those other Republicans. I mean, there's a whole slew of these people that the eyes glaze over when they open their big fat yaps. The Obama administration should have seen this. The Obama White House should have seen this specifically, and Obama's people should have gotten out in front of this thing, and they should have begun an educational process here. All right, so the town halls didn't work. You guys saw those things going south. All of the play got all the play was given to the people who were jamming in there and acting like a bunch of jackasses. So you weren't getting the message out. So you got to try a different tack, and you got to find some people. Okay, you can't use that what's her name Claire McCaskill because she was a train wreck.
I don't understand the rudeness.
Look, put some of those political skills into play that got your ass elected in the first place there, Claire, and start talking to these people. It may be too late. It may be too late, and it's a sad thing because the idiots won. And I'm sorry, the idiots won. But you know what? The idiots also allowed the idiots to win. The idiots won, and the people doing battle with them were just a pathetic collection of partisan name callers. These Democrats, just as thick as their Republican counterparts, playing this jackass game. Wait till you hear, not only Michelle Bachmann, I got some stuff coming up here, man. It's going to just, to quote John Leguizamo in Carlito's Way, I'm trying to maximize my potentialities. I got something that's about to explode. All right? I got Michelle Bachmann saying she's going to slit her wrists. Then we have some of these talking heads saying, well, Bachmann wants to get Obama killed. In other words, the Democrats are responding to this stuff with equally insane commentary that isn't educating anybody about anything. Why don't you cats get off your high horse? If Bachmann's if she's a runaway train, man, if she's a loose cannon, let her be in all of her splendor and glory. Let her be Kerry's mom, okay? You guys got a bigger job to do. Do you understand? I've never seen a party with as much power today as the Democratic Party let it slip through their hands the way these guys are allowing this stuff to just sift right through their fingers. They are truly a modern miracle, a modern medical masterpiece, man. The way they're butchering this thing six ways to sunset. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. The number is 877-876-PHIL. The story, White House green jobs advisor is called Republicans A-holes. Wait till you hear this, man. And then we got Bachmann with her, I'm going to slit my wrists. And, oh, yeah, it can only get worse, because this is, I'm telling you, this is the grade A material, man. First we got
Thundercrack.
And then we got this other jackass. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry show.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Now, as you know, Glenn Beck and Van Jones are both prissy, mincing homosexuals. Which is the bitch and who is the papa bear? We'll find out later on in the program. Glenn Beck and Van Jones, both mincing, swishing homosexuals. 877-87, what are you looking at?
Are you sick? Boy, we'll get sued for sure.
You can't sue me for calling a guy homosexual.
I'm not going to sue you. I'm saying we're going
to... I know you're not going to sue me, but I'm saying they can't sue me because it's not... You can't sue them. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Bug off, okay? Quit breathing on me, bud. White House Green Jobs Advisor Van John says Republicans are a blank, blank, blank holes. We'll get into that story. Michelle Bachmann says she's going to slit her wrists. Oh, baby. Here is Tori in Wichita. Tori, what's on your mind tonight? Tori, how you doing?
Hi there.
How you doing?
Well, now all of a sudden I'm nervous.
Oh, well, you should be nervous. Nah, everything's great. Everything's good. You're fine. Everything's fine.
Well, I was just wondering, and of course this man may make too much sense, but I don't know why we don't bring Ron Paul in on this debate.
On what?
On the medical.
On the
medical.
Well, Ron Paul.
And everything, And unlike you, I have my own private insurance. I have, I don't know if you say Blue Cross Blue Shield, but, and I'm happy with it. You know, I'm paying out the butt now because I got laid off, so I'm doing the COBRA thing. But these people up there, you got to consider, it's a generational thing more than a partisan thing. They're like a bunch of eight-year-olds fighting over one toy.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Ron Paul, Tori. Ron Paul is a purist conservative, economically and every other which way. And I think Ron Paul, with all due respect to Ron Paul, I think he exemplifies what I'm talking about, people hanging on to a political philosophy, even if it puts the country at risk. I'll give you an example. When it came to the piracy that took those American sailors, the pirates that took those American sailors captive there in the Indian Ocean or off the tip of Africa there, it was his belief that the United States government should never involve itself in the affairs of a private company. He wanted to deputize certain people to go down and do this. Now, I don't know whether that would have worked or not, but we did send our SEALs and we sent our U.S. Navy down there, and they got the problem taken care of.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
So I think
that was the correct thing to do. I'm just trying to think of people who Chuck Hagel, but he's Republican. I can't, like you say, the Democrats are not making a good show at all.
So no, they're not. They're not selling this thing well at all. But when you mention Ron Paul again, he would say no national health care, private insurance. If people don't have insurance and they die, that's their problem. What I don't think he takes into consideration, and a lot of people who are conservatives don't take this into consideration, there is a social cost that is paid that eventually the government has to handle one way or the other. Either it is in encouraging some kind of voluntary social service to help people. It is incurred in terms of the cost to law enforcement, because we know that with bad economic times comes a rise in the crime rate. It may have to do with states or local governments seeking assistance because they can't deal with the upswing in the kind of distress that visits people when they don't have these services. And sooner or later, government gets involved, whether it likes it or not, you know. And it's going to cost at a local level. Sure, great. But what if the local level can't pay for it? Guess who they come talking to? The federal government. And then Ron Paul's going to sit there as president and say, no, you may not. And I just don't know whether all of these things fall together to the benefit of the country, you know, and we're speaking realistically. Listen, Tori, thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on here, we've got Mike in Nashville. Mike, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just wanted to talk about the health a little bit and how I think they framed the whole discussion incorrectly. The progressives, as they call themselves, have started with the supposition that everybody already knows that we need to have health care reform, and therefore we don't need to sell it. And what they really need to be talking about are what are the root causes that require us to have health care reform. From the private insurance side, we have spiraling costs that are going out of control, and most of us have insurance through our employers, and our employers are footing the bill. And it's causing a drain on them. You look at GM; they went bankrupt.
Well, why is it causing a drain on the? Why is it causing a drain on the employers?
It's causing a drain
because
on the
costs a lot. Because it costs a lot, right? It costs a lot.
Absolutely,
it costs a lot. Yeah, and why does it cost a lot?
Because the doctors, it's when you have private insurance, the doctors are allowed to go in and perform as many tests and procedures.
Why does it cost a lot, though? Why does the bottom line, Mike, it costs a lot because the insurance companies are charging a lot, aren't they?
That's not true.
You got insurance, right?
I've got insurance.
Do you have health insurance?
In the insurance industry.
And you're telling me, all right, I want to ask you a question. You worked in the insurance industry. I want to ask you a question, and I don't think I'm out of school asking the question. Do you guys or do you not seek to increase your profitability?
They are not allowed to increase their profitability above a certain level. Most insurance companies are not allowed to have a profit of greater than 10%.
A profit of greater than 10%. That means 10% of the money that they're taking in, correct?
That is correct.
So you have to take in more money to increase your profitability so that 10% is never out of line.
The, but in some ways that's
right.
Because that is true. But the typical contract that insurance companies have with large insurers or large companies nowadays are self-insurance contracts, where all they are glorified data entry clerks.
I understand that. But what you're telling me is, even with those contracts that they are offering, you're saying to me that they're not making a profit and they're not seeking to make a profit, and that they're not passing this profit, the profit that they're getting, they're not passing the cost of that on to us. And that just isn't the case. The world famous Phil Hendry Show, back in a minute.
Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
877-867-6-PHIL. We got plenty of more of your phone calls to come here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We want to take a moment here, though, and tell you about this ridiculous controversy between two homosexuals, Van Jones and Glenn Beck of Fox News. Yes, I said homosexuals. These two bitches have been going back and forth on something having to do with communism, and I don't know what, okay? Fox News reports the following story, and this, as of today, Van Jones, who's got kind of a gay-sounding name, as is the name Glenn Beck, Van Jones, the Obama administration's green jobs advisor and a homosexual, told a group of listeners earlier in the year that the reason Republicans are stonewalling the president is because they're a-holes. He used the full word, a-holes. The reason why Republicans are stonewalling the president is because they're a-holes. Well, there's a newsflash. Problem is, Van, so are you. You see? So are you, man. And that's not name-calling. I mean, I'm calling it the way it is. If Republicans are a-holes for the reasons that I think you think they are, you guys have committed the same kinds of sins. You guys are a stonewalling bunch of no-count slobs, too. You guys are a bunch of behind-the-scenes, backstabbing, nitpicking, petty little bastards, too. So this name-calling is all well and good, and I agree with you that Republicans are a-holes. There's no question. It just happens to be that you guys, Democrats, Republicans, you got the same mama. You know, you got the same big a-hole mother.
Yeah, they all come out of the same, they came out of the same body part. And it,
all right, thank you very much, bud. That's great. All right, Jones' remarks were recorded in a video from February that was posted to YouTube. He made the remark during an energy lecture in Berkeley, California, after a woman in the audience asked him why President Obama and congressional Democrats were having trouble moving legislation, even though Republicans didn't have as much trouble earlier in the Bush administration. Well, the answer is, the answer to that is, they're a-holes, Jones said to uproarious laughter. That's a technical political science term, he said. We'll play the audio for you. I would like to make one point. This is going to sound almost elementary, but here it is. The Democrats were not able to push anything through under the Bush administration during the Bush term, because the Democrats did not have popular support for a lot of what they were attempting to do. You will recall that much of what they wasted their time on was trying to pull troops out of Iraq. The American people didn't want that. Now, you can point to all the polls you want that said the American people think we're losing the war in Iraq. That's different from, do you want to pull the troops out? You can point to a lot of polls that say the American people think we're losing the war in Iraq. That's different from, do you want to lose the war in Iraq? How about asking that question? What do you think it would have come back? The Democrats were reading the wrong polls because they're stupid, just like Republicans, and they came back with the wrong conclusion, and they went to the floor of the House of Representatives and the Senate with the wrong game plan, and they got their ass handed to them by guys that were stonewalling them with that whole less than 60 filibuster thing. And what did they have to say about that? What did they have to say about that? Here's what they had to say about that. Look at what the Republicans are doing to us. Not, we're on the wrong side on this thing, or maybe we ought to reevaluate, because they weren't getting nailed with email after email after email. There were buckets and buckets and buckets of letters coming in from the American people saying, we simply must pull out of Iraq. This was their own personal little playground, man. Now let's move to the present day. Do the American people want health care reform? Yes. You can ask that question 55 different ways. The answer is yes. Okay? Now you guys have got a majority. Now you got the American people on your side. Now you've got a valid, popular base from which to work. And can you get anything done? No. What's the problem now? Not that you don't have the American people's support behind you. Not that you don't even have the votes. You jackasses don't know how to sell it. You don't know how to articulate what it is you want to do for the American people that will make it a very, very beneficial turn in the history of our society, of the way we deliver service here, whether private or public, in the history of the health, literally, of the American people. You can't sell this. Why? Why can't you sell it? Because you don't even understand it. All you know how to say is, we want to do this for the president. You cats are still out there blowing up balloons, man. I wouldn't be surprised if one of you put up this banner behind me. Here is this guy, Van Jones. He and Glenn Beck are apparently husband and wife. Who plays which? We are going to have that figured out. Here is Van Jones as he's talking to these people, and he calls Republicans a-holes during this speech.
I know that he has this strong interest in bipartisanship, right. But when nobody in the Republicans are voting with him, how were the Republicans able to push things through when they had less than 60 senators, but somehow we can't?
Well, the answer to that is they're out.
Well, the answer to that is no. The answer to that is apparently they're smarter than Democrats. They know, even though they don't have any popular support for their opposition to a national health plan, they know how to jam these town hall meetings, manipulate the media, get people on their side, co-opt Fox News, for instance, to become a network that is not a news network. It's a sponsor. It's a concert sponsor. They're no different from anybody out there sponsoring a rock concert. You know, they co-opted Fox News into becoming a commercial outlet for their point of view. Not that Fox News doesn't know what's going on, because they do. They absolutely do. And they know it means audience. It means ratings. Does that mean people agree with them? No, it makes for interesting television. You understand? Interesting television. Even progressives watch Fox News. Even liberals watch Fox News. Even Keith Olbermann watches Fox News. Even Butch Maddow, she watches Fox News. They all watch Fox News. They watch Fox News even when they're on the air, they're watching Fox News. So what this guy, Van Jones, and by the way, the reason why I bring Glenn Beck into this is that these two gay blades have been going back and forth. Glenn Beck apparently has been all over Van Jones, calling him a communist. The main impetus for the sudden attacks on Jones, he co-founded the group Color of Change, which is asking advertisers to boycott Glenn Beck. So these two gay boys are, you know, they're huddling under the covers each night. Homosexuals. We have it. I don't want to tell you where. We've got, you know, I've got sources.
Boy, I hope to know what the source is, because I have to call Mr. Hall.
Oh, why don't you shut up? Jones started being an Obama advisor was in March. This clip was from a month before he was hired and he started working for the administration. One big fat mistake after another. I hope you didn't hire him, Mr. President. I hope it was another screw-up by Rahm Emanuel. At the end of this year, you know what you ought to give all these guys in the White House as a Christmas president? You ought to give them a pink slip. Fire all of them. Start all over again. You, Mr. President, you've hung your hat on this health care plan. I'd like to see it passed. I know that it would be good for the American people. The way you have pitched it and sold it, the way you've packaged it and sent it out to the American people, it has been destroyed by the Republican and conservative movement in this country, not using anything more than a bunch of grandmothers and old feeble men and a bunch of crazy-ass rednecks and a bunch of jackasses with food in their beard and a T-shirt that says something like, I saw Carlsbad Caverns, how about you? And they're all in the town hall meetings waving their flags and screaming and yelling and jumping up and down. That's all they had to do. That's all they had to do is just pack them all in, and then you got Claire McCaskill versus those people, and you find out what Claire McCaskill's worth. She ain't worth nothing, man. I wouldn't hire her to organize a bunch of kindergartners to get on a school bus, let alone be a senator from a state. And who else have you got? You got all these guys getting their asses handed to them, from Specter all the way on down the line. Now we have Michelle Bachmann. Wait till you hear this twisted idiot. Michelle Bachmann, she's a congresswoman from, you know, again, does it sound like I'm jumping all over these Republicans? No, I mean, I think I've equally applied the pressure here. to the Democrats and the jackasses that they send out into the public to advocate. Van Jones. And he's all tied up in some group to boycott Glenn Beck. What are you guys doing, okay? Why don't you get out of the Felt Angel Wings, get away from the West Hollywood Parade, take off the chaps with no underwear, and start getting serious, okay? Two gays. Now we've got Michelle Bachmann. Now, what's Michelle Bachmann saying? Michelle Bachmann, she uses what some critics are calling violent rhetoric. She has something she wants to cause. One of them says she wants to cause harm to President Barack Obama. Now, Michelle Bachmann, sure, she needs electroshock. Sure, she ought to be sat down in a chair and just asked a whole lot of questions about her childhood. We know this. You know this. Michelle Bachmann needs intensive psychotherapy. But what they do with this woman is they make her an even larger, not a larger target, because the bigger she gets, the louder she gets, and the more insignificant the people that don't like her become. Like, for instance, Dan Savage, who's a columnist. Dan Savage, who's a liberal. Dan Savage, who falls into the same trap all the rest of those stupid progressives fall into. He gets into a peeing match with Michelle Bachmann. Let me tell you something, pal. She pees standing up, too. In fact, she probably pees standing up, and you sit down. So here is Michelle Bachmann. We mentioned she said she'd slit her wrists to fight the Obama healthcare plan. We can only hope, we can only pray. And we have made the offer that if she actually will cut her wrists, we will come off of our support for the president's healthcare national plan. If we only got lucky enough, Michelle.
If this goes through and passes, the United States will no longer be the same country that we were. So this cannot go form. We can't even have that discussion. This cannot pass. It cannot.
Uh-huh.
We have to today make a covenant, slit our wrists, be blood brothers on this thing. This will not pass.
All right. Well, I tell you, it will not pass. You cut your wrists and I'm off the national health care plan. Lickety split, baby. In a New York minute, if you'll pardon the expression, lickety. Here is Michelle Bachmann offering a particularly gory take on how our freedom is being taken away from us.
Remember, on this one, this isn't normal times anymore. This isn't normal, what's happened in the United States Capitol. You got your usual, you know, slothfulness, boozing, skirt-chasing members of Congress. This, we could only wish that those were our problems. Right now, we are looking at reaching down the throat and ripping the guts out of freedom of this country. And we may never be able to restore it if we don't man up and take this one on.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you can man up, Michelle, and you will have to prove that you can man up, and that means perhaps reaching down and lifting your skirt, I'm all with you, honey. And to come up with an image like that, you must have either actually done that to a cat when you were a kid, or maybe you've assisted in some abortions. I mean, you know...
Oh, are you kidding me, man? This will not pass. You can't do that.
How come you're always interrupting Mr. Henry? There's a good question. Why are you always interrupting me, man?
You're talking about Michelle Bachmann, and she's going to reach up and lift her dress and take it off?
I didn't say that, you idiot. She said she's going to man up. I think her and Pelosi ought to man up, because I think that's about the extent of what they got for men over there. Reach down the throat and rip the guts out, huh? I bet you did that to your favorite pet cat when you were a kid there, Michelle. You know what? I don't have any problem with Michelle Bachmann. Nothing that can't be solved by a handful of Paxil. I'll bet you that woman's a pill popper. The problem is the wrong pills. I bet you, you know what your problem is, Bachmann? Too much speed. All right. Anyway, here's Michelle Bachmann. She's going on. Now listen to this jackass Dan Savage, see? She's on the right, and she's going off like the pill popper she is. Now here comes Dan Savage, and this guy, she's on speed, this guy's on LSD, and listen to what he's got to say about Bachmann.
I really do think that the Michelle Bachmanns of the world and the Glenn Becks...
Not for nothing, but again, if you're going to advocate on behalf of the president and try to, you know, get some... Don't put a guy on TV... I really think that the Michelle Bachmanns of the world... I'm not saying he's gay. I'm saying he sounds less than the way people need to hear somebody when they're making a manly... You know, I really think the Michelle Bachmanns of the world... How is it every time you guys trot one of these cats out, man, he sounds like that? Get a guy that knows how to talk to people. And we have on here Dan Savage. Of course, Oberfuhrer has him on because Oberfuhrer doesn't want to sound any more light in the loafers than he does already.
I really do think that the Michelle Bachmanns of the world and the Glenn Becks of the world are actively and consciously or subconsciously trying to get the president killed. That's why they're setting this up as kill or be killed arguments. He's going to kill your grandma, pull the plug on grandma, death panels that little children have to go in front of. This kind of rhetoric, this paranoid style in the religious right, from, you know, birchers to birthers, doesn't usually end well. And somebody's got to put the brakes on it. Unfortunately, the Republican Party, there are no adults left in the room. There are only the Michelle Bachmans and the Glenn Becks and the Rush Limbaughs.
The problem with all of this stuff is that Dan Savage is saying things that the Democrats, that the progressives engaged in themselves during the Bush years. They spoke words that almost encouraged the assassination of George Bush. They said things that almost encouraged violence against that president, including Obersturmfuhrer there, the fascist that he is. That guy was leading the charge, saying things against Bush, accusing him of rape, accusing him of murder. You guys are, you know, you got no credibility. Do you understand what I mean by credibility, don't you? Do you think the American people all of a sudden are sitting down and listening to you cats because you're just so full of wisdom, man? I just think that really what's happening right now is something that's going to be... You're going to have to get somebody out there that can pitch this storyline. And the storyline is America needs a health care plan, not whether or not Glenn Beck is a homosexual, you know, living with Van Jones, and the two of them are going to go out and pick out velvet drapes. The storyline is a health care plan that needs to be pushed forward. And forget about whether or not Glenn Beck's got a radio show and a TV show that you wish you had, Dan, but you'll never have it because there's a TV executive saying, we can't have this guy. He's too gay sounding. Oh, well, listen, I think I could really do an 11 o'clock shot for you guys. Now, just get out of here and go back to the LA Weekly. 877-876-PHIL. So there you go. What more can you say? What more can you say? Well, you can say
things are bad.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with your phone calls and more. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Thundercrack.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Listen.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, when I say that Glenn Beck and Van Jones are gay lovers, I say who's the bitch and who's the papa bear. Basically, I'm saying who's
Thundercrack
and who's
Johnny Diablo.
And we'll never know. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to some phone calls next hour. We've got some school news for you. Some of this stuff is, oh yeah, baby, it's spinning out of control. And again, I got to blame the progressives who I agree with when it comes to the national health care plan. You guys are high on a mixture of crack cocaine and some newly refined LSD. Stop with the drug use, man. Let's get a message out there. Here is Ryan in New York City. Ryan, how are you? Welcome to the Phil Henry Show. What's up?
Good, man. Yeah.
Great.
Advocating a national single payer plan is actually really simple. You know, for example, my boss, he pays $600 a month for his plan through Freelancers Union. It's a health plan for self-employed and contract workers, basically temps. And under a single-payer system, he would pay 90% less per year.
Single-payer single-payer system. The single-payer system is essentially a national system without a private option. And that is not what this administration is proposing. In fact, they've gone out of their way to say it's not a single-payer plan.
It's
but you're saying it's a good idea.
What the administration has on the table is a half-assed voodoo mishmash of crap.
Well, I understand, but you know why they're doing that, don't you? You know why they're doing that, right?
Well, basically, you're going to end up with the public option. It's basically going to be a subsidized private policy for people that basically if all you can afford to pay a month is $20 a month, the government pays the other couple hundred dollars or whatever a month. For you to have a private insurance policy.
But the reason why they're leaving in the private option is because politically, a single-payer national plan, you ain't going to be able to sell it right now, the climate being what it is politically in this country.
Well, yes, we're talking about trillions of dollars in profit that's going to be lost.
Doing is they're trying to be a little bit more practical, and they're saying, all right, let's keep the private options available to people because we don't want to freak anybody out and think that we're living in communist Russia. All right, Ryan, I appreciate your call, man. I really do. Thank you. Let's go over to Kenny in Boston. Kenny, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing he was just talking about. The national, I know we're trying to get away from everyone's talking about the single-payer plan, but if there's a national option plan for obviously the people that can't afford or don't want to buy health insurance now, because there are people with health insurance that can't afford it and don't buy it, and of course there's lots of people with health without health insurance that can't afford to buy it. So that's mm-hmm. the basis of the national plan, right? For people that can't afford health insurance now.
Well, but also correct? It's going to be a legal requirement to carry health insurance, so everybody's going to have to be insured.
Well, it's already law in Massachusetts. You have to have it, or you're penalized.
Right. Well, this would be a national law, federal law. You must be insured.
Okay. So then the national plan is going to pick up for the people that can't afford it? Or will I be able to get that as well? Can I stop buying
if
the national one?
Well, here's the thing, and this is very interesting. I'm glad you brought this up, because this was used by people opposed to it to say, aha, they're looking into your private life. If you opt for the national plan, or even if you opt for the National Health Exchange to get a cheaper insurance, they require financials from you. They want to see how much you make. They want to see what your status is in life. And that makes sense to you and me, doesn't it? A bank asks you for that information if they're going to make a loan.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Why not?
Because if this family over here gets it for $50, I want it for $50.
Wait a minute. If you because you have not shown you have that you have a financial need, that you are financially strapped or struggling, that you need that.
Well, I don't think that's
it's the same thing. If you go to a bank, you think they're going to lend you money. Do you think a bank lends you money if you haven't got collateral? Aren't there requirements for certain kinds of fiduciary business? We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.